11 minutes past the hour on RN Drive. If you're a high income earner and you don't have private health insurance, there's a good chance you'll be paying a lot more on your next tax return. This afternoon, the federal government gained the support of the Greens, which means that they're very close to passing legislation through Parliament to means test the private health insurance rebate and increase the Medicare levy surcharge for people who don't have private cover. It's estimated that the government will save more than $2 billion over the next 3 years this way, chasing that all-important holy grail of a surplus. But the bill still needs the support of several crossbenchers, including the independent Rob Oakeshott. They very clearly think that they have it. The support of the Greens was secured by an extra $165 million over 3 years for dental care. The Greens MP, Adam Bandt, joins us now on RN Drive. Adam Bandt, thanks for your time.
Evening, Waleed.
No doubt you're going to be spruiking this as a victory for the Greens, as something that you've won from the government, them giving you $165 million to go towards dental care in exchange for your support. But I'm just looking at the facts here. The government had already promised to move on dental care for the next budget. You were asking for full dental cover under Medicare, which would cost $5 billion or so. In the end, the government has given $165 million. What have you really achieved at the end of the day about with all this?
Well, going back to that agreement that you referred to, when I sat down with the Prime Minister around about 18 months ago now to negotiate formation of government, one of the things that we got in the written agreement was a promise that we are going to have significant reform of dental health in Australia. Now, in the meantime, we've had negotiations about what that might actually look like, and the Treasurer committed last year to spend some money on it in this year's budget. Studies that have been done in this area estimate that to have a fully fledged dental scheme, which is what we would like, having dental in Medicare so that going to the dentist is like going to the doctor, would cost somewhere around about $4 to $5 billion per year. We except that you can't have that overnight, and so we're proposing to phase in denticare over 5 years, and that would cost somewhere in the order of $1 billion in the first year, and that would cover primarily low-income earners and children. What we said to the government was we didn't think that the surcharge that they were proposing was necessarily a good idea, but that if they were going to do it, the money raised from it should go as a down payment towards that initial first year, and that's what we've got.
Okay, but my question really is about what you got out of this that sort of wasn't already in train.
Well, we've now got a promise of $165 million as a down payment.
But they said they were going to do that anyway.
And we'll continue the negotiations over the next couple of months in the lead up to the budget.
But what do you got to negotiate with now? You've given them the support for the legislation that they wanted to get through. They've already said they were going to put some money towards dental care in the budget. They've put $165 million, which is not a huge amount, next to the $5 billion for full dental coverage. I'm still not really sure what you've actually achieved here. I know you'll say that we got this concession out of the government. It was something they'd already agreed to.
Well, it's the first step, and one of the things that we hadn't yet bedded down was the details. We'd agreed on significant reform. We'd agreed that we need to start heading down this track, and we're in the process now of nutting out the details, and that's something that will take place right up until the lead-up of the budget. And what we've got as a good step along the road is a commitment now for $165 million to start getting dental into Medicare.
All right, let's assume that you've managed to extract something from the government then and that you've got a concession. You have all along supported means testing the private health insurance rebate. So why did you withhold your support, or why did you need to withhold your support until you got a concession?
Oh, look, we made it clear that we thought means testing the private health insurance rebate was a good idea. It's cost the country somewhere around about $4.5 billion a year for basically those who the ordinary Australians are subsidising those who can most afford to take out private
So why not just support it? Why get into a political horse trading argument about it when support the legislation?
Well, we said we would. We said we'd support that part of the legislation, the bill, and that much was always clear. What we expressed concerns about was the issue of the surcharge. We were in two minds about that, and the fact that the government agreed to use the revenue they raised from that into dental care tipped the balance for us, but we were always very clear that we'd support the means test.
Can I get a sense of the end game here? How far do you want to go? Is your aim ultimately to scrap the private health insurance rebate altogether?
Look, ultimately, if you look at the American system, they pay twice as much of their GDP as we do by having this kind of two-tiered health system. The private health insurance rebate is not something that, in principle, we support. It didn't actually lead to more people taking up private health insurance. That peaked with the introduction of the lifetime cover loading that was put in. What it does is divert money away from the public system to the private system. And take dental care at the moment, you've got about $400 million a year is going from general revenue coming proportionally from low-income earners going to dental care for people on private health insurance, the rich who can most afford it.
Okay, so I get the argument, but what I'm asking is what your end game is. Are you looking to scrap it altogether?
Look, as I said, we don't agree with it in principle and don't think it's a good idea. And if the government turned around tomorrow and said we are not going to continue the health insurance rebate anymore and we're going to put all the money in public health, we'd be 100% behind them.
The opposition say that means testing the rebate will lead to about 1.5 million people quitting their health cover over the next 5 years. We have a public health system that's already under strain. Doesn't this potentially create a real problem for our public health system?
Well, I think we have to think about how we think about Medicare and our public health system. Is it a universal entitlement that everyone's entitled to and that those who are wealthy contribute more to through their general taxes in a progressive taxation system? Or is it something that's just treated as a bare minimum safety net where we are in fact entrenching two tiers? And that's the argument that says that people who are wealthy should go on the private system, in effect takes them out of the public system, ultimately potentially takes their revenue out of the public system, and that's not the road that we want to go down.
Last week we spoke to Tony Windsor about the proposal, which he was reserving his position on. It looks like he might not support it. Here's what he had to say about his concerns.
The concern I've had is about the way in which the private hospital attracts specialists to the country town, because they can operate in a private capacity through the private hospital. But what happens in a lot of cases, because that specialist is in that town, they actually get to do public work as well. And the issue then becomes, would they be in the town to do any work, either private or public, if in fact the rebate mechanism wasn't there?
So that's a rural concern there, Adam Bent. How do you respond to that?
The best way of addressing that is by strengthening the public health system, and especially in rural areas. And I take my hat off to Tony Windsor, who's probably done more than a lot of other people to draw attention to the issues in rural health. But I reckon he'd also be the first one to agree that if it was the case that some of the money that he's saving is going back into public health system, especially in rural areas, I think that'd go a long way to addressing some of those concerns.
Thanks, Adam Bent. Good to talk to you.
Good on you. Thank you.
That's Adam Bent, the Greens MP there. 19 minutes past the hour on RN Drive.